Well, thank you all for coming today. What I'd like to do this afternoon is take you through a little journey, if I can use that term loosely, through our flu and pneumonia program that we put together as a company, the Walgreens company. Our company initiative was to have an immunization program that went across all of our business units, which includes all of our take care clinics, our nurse practitioner-based public-facing clinics, as well as our employer-based clinics, our home infusion, and our retail pharmacies. Today, what I'm going to focus on is our retail pharmacy program and give you some information and show you how it developed and how we were successful in attracting up to, I think the last report that came out Tuesday was 6.2 million folks had gotten a flu shot at Walgreens this past season. So just a couple of things about our program. It is the pharmacist-based program. It goes across all 50 states, different than some other health professionals. Pharmacists' privilege to immunize varies by state. So in different states, we have different vaccine and age restrictions on what we can provide to eligible patients. And as a company, our minimum age is 9 years of age, so we do not enter into the pediatric space. This is all adolescent and adult focus is our program. So our goal for this past season was to administer flu and pneumonia shots to eligible patients across all 50 states and all locations. We have 26,000 pharmacists that we trained to be certified immunizers, and we have 7,600 locations across the country, including Washington, D.C. and Puerto Rico. We wanted to retain all of our flu shot customers from the previous year and then attract new customers to be able to enhance the offering across all communities. And then we wanted to sustain the brand awareness of our the professional service, the immunization service, and what we are looking to do is enhance that image from a provider of just flu immunizations. And as you see this year, we went to flu and pneumo, and then we are also providing an array of other vaccines as well. So we want to deliver this service beyond a standard transaction. What we learned from our customers the year before the H1N1 pandemic season was we did a really great job of bringing people into the store, getting them back to the pharmacy, giving them a shot, and shooting them right out the door. It was really that quick. We did a great job. We did 5 million shots in 6 weeks, but we didn't enhance that service, and we didn't really capitalize on any kind of other healthcare messages. So we learned from that, and this year we brought people in, and we focused on an array of different activities, which I'll walk you through during the presentation, to enhance that experience and to differentiate pharmacy to be a healthcare destination, not just a place where you get a flu shot. And then, of course, we wanted to demonstrate improved rates and show how we can be a viable partner to all healthcare professionals taking care of patients. We want to acquire and retain these people, so as they come in and they spend time with the pharmacist, our goal was to have that dedicated 2 to 3 minutes with the pharmacist, talking about relevant healthcare issues, about the flu shot that they're getting today, other relevant immunizations, prescription services, in order to show them that they are with a professional today, and there are other services available. One of the things that we wanted each and every pharmacist to do with every patient was to introduce themselves. And I will tell you, I am a pharmacist. I'm also immunization trained and do provide immunizations. So if you were one of my patients, the first thing I wanted to do was to introduce myself and let you know that I am a pharmacist and I'll be giving you your shot today. I can't tell you how many times over the last 10 years of doing immunizations that the patients or customers look at the pharmacist and say, "We didn't know you were a nurse." So we wanted to clarify that and really to elevate our role across that continuum. Our marketing strategy was to look at an array of different targets, if you will. Our consumers, we'll talk through our campaign and how we created awareness for the service to our customers, how we leveraged our employees, both from the point of view as we wanted to take care of them and keep them healthy, but also as they are for our frontline folks and they embrace the program, how they can be of great service getting that message out. So what better vehicle to have a person that takes part in the program, gets a flu shot, and be able to talk about that with all the customers throughout the day. And then we'll talk about influencers, physicians, and payers, and how we worked to partner with both those groups. You've all seen our famous icon. If you've been in any Walgreens store over the last 16 weeks, I know Lisa had mentioned how she saw the sign over and over and over again. It's kind of iconic, if you will. So our goal was to identify different types of populations, have our marketing message targeted to be able to go out and attract all of these three different groups of people. So we know out there a lot of busy people. We all have families. If you look at the sandwich generation, if you will, young children, elderly parents, two-job households, a lot of things going on, not a lot of time. You're thinking about getting that flu shot, but you never get around to really doing it. So we identified this group of well-intended moms. We feel that there's about 21 to 25 million females in that group, and our marketing campaign was designed to attract and give them the knowledge to know how convenient and easy it would be for them to get a flu shot and work to bring them into our stores. One of our barriers to success on that route was if we were to bring them into our stores, we're immunizing only those females or their spouse. If they have a family with young children, we have now segmented the family because we can't take care of the children. So it's one of the barriers to our program. The prevention-focused seniors, we know the seniors are the first and foremost. As soon as the vaccine is out there, they are clamoring to get their shots. And, of course, what we are doing is creating that awareness that they can come to Walgreens or a community pharmacy and get that service easily and safely. And then, of course, looking at our existing pharmacy patients, we are already engaged in conversation with them. How do we now take them to the next level and have them embrace some professional services, starting with immunizations? So what our marketing campaign centered around, first off, our existing patients, those folks that had gotten a flu shot from us before. We had a direct mail campaign where we sent them a trifold mailer, and inside that trifold mailer was a pre-printed VAR form for them to come to Walgreens and get their flu shot. And that was one of the most successful marketing campaigns the company's ever put together. The return percentages were unprecedented. They were unprecedented in the Walgreens company and sustainable over the 16 weeks. So the amount of people that came in with this vehicle and got the flu shot and the sustainability of a marketing campaign over the number of weeks of the program was record-breaking for our company. We also developed a whole media mix, and we'll talk a little bit more about that, but we use TV, we use radio, we use print, we use the stores and all the signage in the stores and all of the social networking. One of the things that we're developing and we're going to use in the future is the text messaging to let folks know that the service is available. I know we do that today with our prescription refills, so if you order a prescription, you do have the option of getting a text message when it's ready. In the future, we'll also use that vehicle to remind folks that they can get a flu shot. And then, of course, we heard from our patients the year before, and I spoke to this earlier. They wanted convenience, so we promoted daily accessibility. When the lights were on in the pharmacy, you could come into the store and know you can get a flu shot, which included all of our 24-hour stores. So if you were up and about at 3 in the morning for some reason and you wanted to get a flu shot, you could come in the store, and that pharmacist was immunization certified to be able to give you that shot at 3 in the morning. Patients wanted some type of privacy. If they come in their dress, long sleeve, shirts or whatever, and they have to unbutton or whatever, they didn't want to be doing that out in the aisle. Traditionally, you know that in grocery stores and grocery pharmacies and drugstore pharmacies, flu shots over the past years have been just right out there in the aisle. Now we've moved them to the back of the store, and we have a temporary privacy solution that kind of a trifold unit, and some of our competitors have embraced that same temporary solution as we move forward and develop other services for the pharmacist to do. That privacy area will become more sophisticated. And, of course, they all wanted more billing capabilities, and one of the things in pharmacy, 90% of all immunizations are covered under the medical benefit. And just by the nature of our business, we are a pharmacy, so we do great pharmacy billing. However, you know, getting and embracing medical benefit is a challenge, and we're moving into that arena, but very slowly. So a lot of our patients that come in for this service, it is covered under the pharmacy benefit, some under the medical benefit, and then a lot of folks do just pay cash for the service. And then, of course, we leverage our corporate communications and our public relations to have an array of announcements and different vehicles, press releases and such that it is important to get vaccinated, and we had the vaccine early, so we were promoting folks to get their shots earlier. All of our messages communicated the universal age recommendation, and, of course, a plus and minus in our marketing was the inclusion of the message about H1N1. that was a challenge for us because there was some mixed messages about that. A lot of people thought it was a positive. Some people were very afraid of the H1N1 vaccine. It worked both ways for us. And then again, we enhanced our e-commerce site. So if a patient was to log on to Walgreens.com at home and want to get a flu shot, they could click the link, go into the site. You could register at home on the site as a user of the e-commerce site. That would automatically register you if you were not a previous pharmacy customer in our store database. So when you did come to the store, you're already pre-registered. You pre-print your VAR at home, all pre-populated. So you could register, get your VAR, and just come to the store and get your flu shot. Saves a lot of time and effort. Going into next year, we'll also enhance that with some scheduling tools. So folks that want to have a designated time will be able to make an appointment. Those folks that just want to come in and get their shot and, you know, get in line with the masses, they can do that as well. The usual waiting time is somewhere around 10 to 15 minutes. So if you just walked in, you could probably get a flu shot in a 10 to 15 minute turnaround. And if you wait around or shop in the store, it's probably a 20 to 25 minute total experience. And of course, increasing our email database to be able to communicate with folks and cross-promote any elective, future elective preventive care services that we're looking to develop. So our whole campaign, I won't read this, but the key message here was we wanted to do three things. We wanted to create the sense of urgency, especially in the well-intended moms, to get a flu shot. We wanted them to take pride in the fact that they got this flu shot, and we wanted them to put on this heart that they could wear on their arm the name of somebody that they got the flu shot for. So it was for their kids, and I have another slide that shows you a whole array of examples of what we found. But urgency and pride was what we wanted to do. We wanted them to be proud of this. We wanted them to all know that 50% of the reason you get a flu shot is for you. The other 50% is for your family, your friends, and your loved ones. And then, of course, all of our marketing campaign embraced this heart-shaped Band-Aid, if you will, and we've surely promoted that. And here you have an array of examples. All of these intended for different audiences, different populations, and being able so you can relate and be drawn in to understand and get the flu shot. And I will tell you that all of the community pharmacy companies embraced flu shots this year and all the marketing collectively. We were in a meeting with a medical group a week or two ago, and they were talking about the increased uptake of flu immunizations in this particular groups of medical community, and they saw a 25% increase in folks coming in to get a flu shot in their arena. And one of the things that they said was, first and foremost, that the reason for this was all of our promotion out in the community, creating that awareness and the halo effect that it had on all folks in all arenas. So this is a slide that I like to walk you through real fast. We were first movers, so what we started, we promoted flu, if you can believe this. We started at the 4th of July. We launched the flu shot gift card. We wanted our folks to start mentioning to our customers that flu season is right around the corner, and we wanted to make it top of mind that Walgreens offered this service. In order to give them something in hand to be able to talk about, we created the flu shot gift card. It helped our employees, gave them a reason to talk to folks. It also gave folks a reason to, if you have older children going off to college, it's a great vehicle. You buy the gift card, you give it to Sally or Johnny going off to school. Now they know they can get a flu shot. And the card only worked for a flu shot, so they couldn't take it into the store and buy anything else. So you were pretty much assured that, you know, you spent the $29.99 and they were going to get a flu shot. So that was July 1st of August. All of our marketing campaign hit the stores. It was all about flu facts, so questions and answers that help the public to understand the importance of flu and to get a flu shot. And, of course, the education campaign was short-lived because the vaccine came the first week of August, and we flipped it all and we started immunizing the first week of August. And then in September, all of our multimedia campaigns launched, creating a broad-based awareness. And I can tell you, unless you never watch TV or listen to the radio, you would surely know that community pharmacy has embraced flu shots, and that's the place to go, I think. So our employee program, we understood from the year before. We gave our employees a low-cost flu shot the year before. We got a 25% uptake of all of our employees. We knew we could do better. We wanted to embrace all of our employees to get a flu shot, so we made it free. And we created a whole marketing campaign just to go into our employees. So we wanted them to be aware of that, and we wanted to first and foremost promote it for them, for their health and safety, for themselves and the ones they love, and then, of course, a good marketing campaign wouldn't be successful unless you were able to utilize those folks for the next level. Of course, they're dealing with the public all day long, so I've done it. You should do it, too. It's painless. It's easy. I've got my heart. Maybe you can get yours, too. So we created this whole viral campaign. We gave them some messaging that they could use simply and easily to talk to customers. When you have 6 million people flowing through your stores on a daily basis, you surely can make an impact with information about the importance of flu shots. And 250,000 employees embraced that message and told it to these folks every day on a daily basis throughout the whole flu program. Our folks did a great job the year before. We were recognized by the National Influenza Vaccine Summit, and we sent out a mock-up of the award with a letter from our president of the company, and we gave all that credit for our success to all of our employees, which is what we where the credit belongs. We received an award and some recognition last night from the American Pharmacists Association. It was all about our pharmacists, not about what I do on a daily basis. It's all what they do and how they can do their fulfillment and this professional service and take care of patients all at the same time. So it's all about viral marketing. So our one employee gets a flu shot, and they spread it out to 5 other people within a week, family, friends, coworkers, and it was a nice viral thing. We put these charts up in the break room, we took their pictures, and we really made a fuss about it and tried to make it fun all over our corporate campus. It was amazing. We had pictures of all of us all over the place. You couldn't go anywhere without seeing some of your coworkers looking at you and got their thing, and you know, you felt guilty you didn't get a flu shot. So, and we also developed the Flu Shot Heroes website, and this had multiple purposes. All of the great things that were being done out in our stores, we captured those things and we put it up there and we gave recognition. On the bottom there, on the bottom left, you see some facts. And so as we enhanced information and ways for our stores to do things easily and simpler, we put it out there so they had that information. And then, of course, the little thermometer on the right-hand side is our progress, the goal of immunizing all of our employees. So that was fun for us, and we had a lot of fun with that program. Another group, and these are our key influencers, physicians and payers. You know, it's not about whose patient is it. It's there's patients that need to get a service, and we will do everything that we can to communicate with the physician and bring the information of that immunization to the medical home. Our program from conception included a physician notification letter so that we, with each and every flu shot, this letter is generated and sent to the doctor. Now, one of the things, once we've now gotten to this critical mass of millions of shots, so you can imagine if you're a physician in an area where we're doing a high volume, you're getting a high volume of these letters either coming to your fax machine or coming in your mailbox. So it is a big issue that we need to work on that and streamline that, automate that process, and that's some of the things we're looking to do in the future. So take away the paper and all that and just make it an automated process where you can communicate electronically is where we want to go. Physicians, they do embrace immunization. Some of them carry it in their offices. Some of them promote it. Some don't. Some don't bother with buying vaccine. They need an alternative. So we created a program of awareness to physicians and to partner with them. And I'll take you through that program in a second. Of course, payers are looking to lower overall health care costs and by promoting flu shots and utilizing our national footprint. If they are a national company and they are across the country, they can embrace our program and have a common experience for all their employees across the country. And we do have companies today that contract with us, and they're able to go all across the country and get their flu shots. Let me get to this over here. So we created a whole program around physicians. So we had this, it's supposed to be blurry in the middle. It's supposed to be an interactive slide. So if you went on the Walgreens.com website, either by chance as a physician or a healthcare professional, or if you were prompted by some of our marketing materials, you would come to this landing site. It would walk you through our buzz about expanding your office hours to evenings and weekends and Sundays and holidays, and your patients can get immunized at any time by partnering with community pharmacies. So that was our message. They can go on this landing page, fill out the registration form, and then get an array of materials, or they could utilize what we sent to an array of doctors. So we keyed in on specialists across the country, about 200 to 250,000 physician specialty groups, and sent them this package in the mail and with some materials and, you know, to partner with them, because we know that that's a group of physicians that don't normally immunize, and they do have and have patients coming in all day long that need that service. So bringing that awareness and the partnership to them, we thought was important. I will tell you that if you look at these materials, it's very clear that, you know, it is branded Walgreens. One of the things that would have been a better success is sending it out from Walgreens, but de-branding it, genericizing it. I think the doctors would have used it and embraced it more in their office. It's a little steerage issue, I think. But, you know, I'm just telling it the way I see it, but I think we could have done a better job if we'd have taken the W off and just given it to the doctors to use, and then they can always promote Walgreens or any other community pharmacy for folks to get a flu shot. So that's one of the things that we're looking at for next year. And then, of course, payers. The big challenge for us as our community pharmacies, as I alluded to earlier, is billing. As we move on from flu to flu pneumo, flu zoster, flu Tdap, an array of different vaccines, folks on limited budgets, they don't all have free cash. $29.99 flu shot, folks would pay for that, but as you add more and more services and different things, the costs do go up, and there is a threshold that people will take out of pocket and pay. So we know that that threshold is somewhere in the $45 range, so if your services exceed that, they're not going to embrace the service, or they're just going to walk away from it. So we need to enhance our billing capabilities and work with payers so that we can have an array of options for employees or plan members to be able to come to the community pharmacy arena and get their flu shots. So these are the client materials that we use, and the employers do embrace this. If they sign up to utilize Walgreens or promote Walgreens to their employees or members, they do use this material, so the branding is not an issue here. We do pharmacy billing, we do medical billing, and we also have direct pay from large self-insured employers, so we have an array of vehicles and contracting opportunities for them as well. We do go off-site into the employer's work site and provide flu shots. For those folks who can't get a flu shot at the work site, there's a voucher program, so those folks can get a voucher, come to the store, and they can get the store nearest their work or nearest their home, or if they're on vacation, they could take that same voucher and go across the country and get a flu shot wherever they are. So that's the convenience of that national footprint and being able to service people. And again, some of the other materials that we use to create awareness. One of our national contracts was United Healthcare, and we had great success partnering with them this year. And then, of course, leveraging our reader boards outside the store, some of our store materials, and being able to put that message of the payer on our marketing materials in stores so that customers can see that, and then another awareness point for folks, and make it easy and simple for them to get their flu shot. So as I said earlier, we had administered over 6 million flu shots. Our goal was to expand the role of the pharmacist as a healthcare provider. We're doing a lot of measuring and reporting and of our quality outcomes. Being here today and presenting this is one of our outreach campaigns to create additional awareness and then bridge that partnership that we would like to have with other healthcare professionals, nurses and physicians and others. So, and of course, we created demand for the pharmacist-delivered immunization program, as well as creating demand across all of healthcare for patients to embrace and get a flu shot. So, and of course, we talked through our strategies for customers, our employees, and the influencers, and of course, we're very proud of what we've done, very proud of our pharmacists and pharmacists across every community, not just Walgreens pharmacists, that have embraced immunizations and can work this into workflow with all their other responsibilities and take care of patients and provide a very valuable service. And if there's any questions, I will take those at this time. Thank you.
Thanks very much.
Do you know what percentage of your employees received flu immunizations? You said you had over 7,000?
Well, we had last year we had done about 25%. This year we exceeded 50%.
Okay.
So our goal was to exceed 50%, and we were right on target.
And do you know why Walgreens corporate chose to choose from age 9 years of age and up rather than perhaps a younger age?
Well, several reasons. Number one, the training for our pharmacists, a very comfortable age. Based on that training, would be the age of 9. As you go below the age of 9, it gets a little more complicated. If they've not had a flu shot before, you've got the 2 doses. And our systems are not enhanced at this time to be able to track and have reminders to do the 2 doses. In the future, I believe we're going to work to enhance and maybe lower that a tad bit, but we do not want to be in the pediatric space. We don't want the responsibility. We know that pediatricians do a great job, and that's where it belongs. We know that adults and adolescents struggle with their immunization rates, and that's where all the help is needed.
We need all the immunization sites we can get. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Welcome.
Hello, how are you? One of the questions, I actually have 2 questions for you, and the first question that I wanted to, well, to say this is that I think your marketing strategy is really good, you know, to have your pharmacists to do the immunizations. But my question would be is that because they are working in a drugstore or whatever the case may be, how does it interfere with them doing their work in addition to doing the immunizations? Because I am an RN, and from my point of view, you're taking away something that a nurse could be doing, and I understand you looking at it from a budget, you know, and looking at finances as well, but we don't get a chance to go over and do the pharmacist's job.
Well, we all have an array of activities that we take on. I know that, you know, you're, as nurses, you have, depending on your practice setting, you do have an array of responsibilities in addition to immunizations, as does the pharmacist. We have continually worked for years to enhance our capabilities to streamline our fulfillment process so that it's sophisticated enough now, so if the pharmacist is out of the pharmacy for a short period of time, it does not shut down the process of fulfillment, so that there is remote verification and different things that keep the flow going in the pharmacy. We do, from a pharmacy perspective, immunizations is the perfect transition from purely product-based practice to a service-based practice, because every immunization is considered a prescription. So it's tied to the product. It goes through our prescription process, and it takes just another probably 2 to 3 minutes more for the immunization than filling and counseling a normal prescription. So we've tailored our workflow and our processes from a technology standpoint and from a workflow perspective behind the counter to be able to take on this responsibility and do it without interfering the normal business flow of the day. So that's how we do it.
Okay.
My team is responsible for developing those higher level, both the technology enhancements and the workflow enhancements from an operational perspective.
Okay. And then the other question, you had mentioned something, I think it was about 25% increase in the influenza or the flu shot for this particular year.
Yes.
Year? Okay, what was the age range or whatever? Because I actually work out in the community, and I guess what I find is, and I'm not looking at all of the data and the statistics that come along with that, but what I have noticed is that it may be like from an older standpoint and from the infant standpoint that there are more immunizations, but I find out with the adolescents, maybe not even adolescents, but the younger kids, maybe in the middle, like your teens, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, or whatever, I see that they don't necessarily get as many immunizations. And then I do see some adults who tend to say, you know, they're afraid to get the immunization mm-hmm. because it seems to make them sick.
There was no age tacked onto that statistic.
I
think that was just an initial finding, and then they're going to dive down and be able to report, you know, on age demographics across the country, different ages and race, and sex, all that stuff. I think that'll come. But that wasn't available at that meeting.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
I have kind of a 2-part question. It's about the array of vaccines that you carry. You kind of alluded to the fact that there are a number of different vaccines that you do and how uniform. You said there are different states have different policies. How uniform are the array of vaccines that you carry? I mean, are there some standards that you have almost everywhere beyond just the flu and pneumococcal, like for zoster or Tdap, some of the others? And so, and also, do all your stores have all those vaccines, or does it vary from store to store what they offer?
We segment our immunization program simply and easily. There's the very popular top immunizations, flu, pneumo, Zostavax, and now Tdap. So those 4 vaccines, flu can be in every store across the country, in every state. When you add Pneumo, you drop that down from our total store count 15%. You lose about 15% of the stores. 10% of our store base is in the state of Florida. Florida privilege to immunize for pharmacists is 18 years old and only flu. That's all we can do. So if we want to do anything else, we have to embrace a nurse. We dispense the dose to the nurse, and the nurse can administer that dose to the patient. Very complicated process with a lot of extra expense. Something that, you know, we have to look at very deeply. California, Arizona, Oregon, very liberal policies. There's no minimum age. All recommended. The language that's out there is all recommended. CDC recommended adolescent and adult vaccines. So I believe there's 17 unique vaccines, and when you add the Me Toos and all that, it comes with, I think, 22 or 24 different vaccines. So in states that allow pharmacists the broad privilege on all vaccines, we have a program called, we call it the Center of Excellence Program, and we have an array of stores across the country. Balance our take care presence in the clinics and our pharmacies to be able to have these sites in communities across the country and be able to offer this full array of service, the full gamut of the vaccines. They include some of the travel and the top four and others. So we do have all these going on.
Okay, but not all stores would have all vaccines in one region.
No, that would
okay.
be impractical.
Okay, so they would just have to call and find out what they have.
Yeah. Well, what we're doing is if you go on the Walgreens.com site and you as of this fall, you'll be able to get that vaccine-specific information on the site. Today it just tells you if it's a center of excellence, and then you still have to make the call, but at least you know where you're calling. In the fall, it'll be sophisticated enough where if you wanted to get a Japanese encephalitis vaccine, you could click that entity, and it'll give you what store is in your market or where you live, the closest store where you can get that. So it's going to be that level of detail is coming.
Thanks for an interesting talk.
Thank you.
I'm in the Immunization Safety Office at CDC, and I'd be interested in hearing about how you handled adverse events from two perspectives. One is, did you, when you became aware of an adverse event, did you report it to the Vaccine Adverse Event Reporting System? And number two, when you counseled patients about what to do if they had an adverse event, did you suggest that they go to their medical home or back to you, and how did you handle that? Thanks.
Full array of our reporting. We have internal reporting. We have the VAERS system that we embrace. We have a link right in our computer system in the pharmacy to fill out the form, send it in. First and foremost, if there's any issue with the patient, depending on the severity and if it's right at the time of immunization, 911 is first and foremost. The medical home would be the second if they're not feeling well or something, if they have, you know, whatever's appropriate care for that moment when they're in the store, that's what we'll embrace. So if they need emergency care, we'll call 911. All of our pharmacists are trained to do CPR and emergency procedures. We do have an emergency kit with us, so if there's any incident in the store, first and foremost. Second level, if they go home and they're having any type of reaction and such, if they call the pharmacy, we cannot treat those. We document that. We gather the information, but we encourage them either to go to their doctor or to the emergency room to get treatment. And then as far as billing and whatever responsibility that's all talked about later on, first and foremost is the care of the patient.
So just to clarify, if you received a report 2 weeks later of some neurologic symptoms or whatnot, and you referred them to a physician, would you fill out the adverse event report or would you defer that role to the treating physician?
No, we would do that.
Okay.
We would do that.
Thank you.
Now, that just one more part of that, the complicating part is we would do that, but I'm not sure the physician would know that we did it, so if the patient showed up in the physician's office, you might get a second report of the same event.
Well, we can handle that.
Okay. We communicate that we gave the shot. That's the last of our communication.
Along with that, do you routinely observe patients after they're immunized?
Yes. We do recommend that they stay in the store for 10 to 15 minutes. And one of the things that we've done this year...
So they can shop.
do the shopping.
And part of it, full disclosure, it was in the slides. I just didn't talk to that point. But every person that received the flu shot, when they were checked out at by the point of service, There was a little Catalina coupon that came out. If they shopped that day, they got $3 off a $15 purchase, so it helped to keep them in the store. If they shopped that day, they got another coupon to come back a second time. So, you know, we wanted them to embrace the whole store, not just the pharmacy. So, you know, when you have these, you know. Seriously, that aside, we do that. We have the waiting room. We encourage that. We are a little alarmed sometimes when people just say, no, I'm fine, and off they go. We haven't heard of any events that occurred after that.
Oh, do you do teenagers?
yeah, we.
Okay, well, anyway, I'm about assessment and that kind of thing, but another question for you. Do you offer high dose? Do you get all sorts of products, like depending on what you can get and where you can get it, and how about flu mist and things like
we
that?
We do the standard, if you will, the regular vaccine, the multi-dose vial. We do preservative-free. We do flu mist. We still can't understand why in all of you, all other health professionals and all other arenas, flu mist is very, very popular. In a community setting, it is not. And it's just very, when H1N1 came out and all that nasal came out into the community, it was just, you know, we couldn't give it away, you know, because it's just not embraced in the community setting. But we do have it, and we do recommend it, and we also embrace the high dose as well, and we had that in our stores last year also.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you.
Are there any remaining questions for either of our speakers? Okay.
One more thing. Actually, for the person who asked me about the cost of the text messaging for flu, I do know that the Newark Immunization Coalition is planning on doing text messaging for flu and for HPV, and they've talked to a number of vendors. So I can put you in touch with them, wherever you are, because they do have prices for a number of vendors in terms of how much it would cost to do it on like a citywide level.
Okay. Thanks so much, Dr. Stockwell and Dr. Cohen, for your excellent presentations.